The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome once again to Grace in Focus, the podcast broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. So glad you are with us as today, Catherine Wright and Ken Yates continue their look at the Book of Romans in light of free grace theology. Today will be an initial look at Chapter 7, a very important chapter in the Book of Romans. They will commence right after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are many opportunities there for you to learn and grow in free grace theology. I hope you'll go there and see what is available to you. That's faithalone.org. And now here are Ken and Catherine with today's discussion.
We find ourselves now in Romans chapter 7. One of the main issues there that people struggle with about Romans chapter 7 is Paul talking about when he was a believer or when he was an unbeliever?
Just this week, I was on Facebook. I follow a couple discussion boards, and that was the question. There was a guy who commented and asked, is Paul describing himself before he was saved? Or is he describing his Christian experience as a believer?
Yes, because he's talking about the things that I don't want to do, I wind up doing, mm-hmm. and the things that I want to do, I don't do.
And he describes dying.
Yes, an experience of death. And there are a fair number of students of Romans who say, oh, he's talking about when he was an unbeliever.
When I took Romans in seminary, that's what my prof, his position was, that he was describing himself prior to coming to faith.
And if your theology, of course, is a lordship salvation theology, then that would make sense. If you mm-hmm. believe that Jesus has to be Lord of your life in order to be truly saved, this great struggle that Paul is talking about, I think it would be very easy if you were a lordship salvation person or a Calvinist who says that the true believer perseveres in good works to the end, how could they struggle like that?
Mm-hmm.
Catherine and I do not take that view. We believe that this is Paul's description as a believer.
And right.
We would say as a new believer. Obviously, Paul at this time in his life is a mature believer and he has worked these issues out.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain verses that point to the fact that he's talking about himself as a believer.
Mm-hmm. Can I interject really quickly?
Sure.
I think we've mentioned a few times that there were a series of blogs that you did on the 10 most misunderstood words in Romans. You specifically emphasized certain words in Romans that are, I think, often cause quite a bit of confusion. And one of them, I think we're going to see in this chapter, and we touched on in our last episode and on this series, which is the word dead. What does it mean to be dead in the context of Romans? And what we're arguing is that as believers, we can experience death, but that's not a description of the lack of eternal life. It's a experiential term in this context for Paul.
Sin produces death, as
correct.
We saw at the
yes.
end of chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
But some, when they see dead, they're going to go, oh, that's talking about an unbeliever who's spiritually dead.
Right.
That's the way they're going to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
Or a very common way that they're going to interpret it that way. But when you look at the context of chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, Paul is talking about Christian living.
Mm-hmm.
And how strange would it be if he's talking about chapter 5 and chapter 6, Christian living, and in chapter 8, Christian living.
Mm-hmm.
But then in chapter 7, he goes, well, let me tell you what it was like when I wasn't a believer. But also, even within chapter 7 itself, there are some verses that tell us Paul is talking about himself as a believer. Verse 9, Paul says, I was alive once without the law. That's a strange saying if Paul is describing himself as a unbeliever. I was alive once. And then towards the end of the chapter in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That would also be a strange thing for an unbeliever to say, that my inner man delights in the law of God.
I think going back to verse 9 in particular, where he says, to finish that verse, he says, I was alive once without the law, But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So it's not that he was dead and then became alive. He's saying I was alive and then became dead.
Right.
So it's the reverse. If we're talking about his experience as an unbeliever who was spiritually dead, to use that term, and then received eternal life, then it should be that he was dead and then became alive. But in verse 9, it's the opposite. He was alive and then died because sin was revived in him. And so that's an experiential description, I think, and that's pretty clear.
Yeah, so when Paul says, I died, I think we can all say, well, Paul didn't go to hell. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not in the lake of fire.
Right.
And so what Catherine was arguing before, that death is an experiential thing, that sin produces death in the life of a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people struggle at saying it that way.
Right.
But that certainly fits the context of Christian living in 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so the issue is, how does the believer experience life? We might say abundant life, or mm-hmm. we might say avoid death. If sin brings death into the life of a believer, and that can be physical death, be lack of fellowship with the Lord. It could be the consequences of sin. It could be the wrath of God in Romans 1.
Mm-hmm.
How do I avoid that? And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans 7. And he's talking about his experience earlier
mm-hmm.
as he was dealing with this issue. How does the Christian live
yeah.
after they have eternal life, after they are a believer?
The other, I think, key to that argument that he's talking about the Christian life is one of the main themes of this chapter is the role of the law in the Christian life. He's talking about the law. He's talking about the commandments. So just that really simple theme within this chapter is that he's dealing with the law and the role of the law in the Christian life. So again, does the law give eternal life? Does the law save us from the lake of fire? No, we're talking about how do we live? How do we live a righteous life? And that's been the emphasis throughout this discussion.
And as he's talking about the law, now the question is the law the rule of life for the Christian? In other words, if I want to produce life, if I want to walk in life, if I want to, we could even say, experience the fruit of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
maybe like
yeah.
that, or the abundant life of John 10:10,
mm-hmm.
or if I want to live a life that pleases God, is the law the means by which I do that? We know the law is not going to save me from the lake of fire,
mm-hmm.
but now Paul's issue is he becomes a believer, he's a Pharisee. The law is good. I'm just going to keep the law mm-hmm. in order to please God.
A lot of believers are influenced by that thinking that if I follow a list of commandments, that's what's going to please God.
Right. We can have our own law, even
right.
though Paul is talking about the law of Moses.
Correct. Yes.
And what he's going to say is, I tried to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's going to say is, I failed.
That's right.
But we can do the same thing with our own list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. I do all these things. And that's what's going to produce a rich experience of life. What Paul says is, when I became a believer, I said, okay, I'm going to experience spiritual success, Christian living, sanctification by keeping the law. But he says here in the beginning of chapter 7 that in Christ, we've been set free from the law.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul uses a interesting metaphor for that. And what he says is that when a woman is married to a man, she's bound to that man as long as the man is alive. But when the man dies, she's free to be joined to another. And what Paul says is, when we became believers in Jesus Christ, we died to the law, and now we've got, to use his analogy, a new husband, mm-hmm. which is Christ. Obviously, the law, we've been set free from it. That is not the rule of life for the Christian. That is not the way to experience abundant life.
I think also just refreshing our memory of the purpose of Romans. The goal of the book of Romans, Paul is trying to tell us how we can be delivered from the wrath of God in our lives, from the consequences of sin. How can we experience that deliverance or that salvation? Is it through the law? That's the question. Can I be delivered from the consequences of sin by following a list of rules? And what I think Paul's ultimately going to say here is no.
That's Paul's conclusion. That's what he learned. Mm-hmm. And we would say that's what he learned as a new believer, mm-hmm. which you would expect, again, as a Pharisee. Well, that's the way I do it. And you also see it with a lot of Christians today, that they see Christianity as a religion of rules. No Bible, no breakfast. You know, I've got to read mm-hmm. so many verses of the Bible before breakfast. I'm going to have these rules. And what Paul says here is that when he did that, he died, that he experienced death, that the law did not produce life mm-hmm. in him. The reason why is because when we live a Christian life based upon rules that we keep, it is a legalistic thing that we're doing in our own flesh.
And it will produce pride.
And it will produce pride.
And arrogance.
And what Paul says is, he goes, the inner commandment, thou shalt not covet. I could eat the right food, and I could not lie, and I could not literally commit adultery, but I couldn't stop myself from coveting. And he goes, I died, because in my flesh, that's what I was producing.
Of all the sins for him to choose, isn't it interesting that he chose one, an inward one? It's so easy with the law to do those external things. Oh, I go to church and I don't smoke, or I pray so many times
a day. I didn't rob anybody.
I didn't cheat on my wife. But are you spiteful towards others? Are you covetous towards others? Are you inwardly prideful and puffed up? What you find is that the law, by trying to live the Christian life in your own power, which is fleshly, what you will find is that it produces sin.
And you will fail.
And you will
fail.
And
that was Paul's experience.
Yeah.
Well, one thing Paul says is, don't focus on the law, focus on grace. Mm-hmm. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace and Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are some of the happiest people in the world. If you would like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. Learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And on the next episode of Grace in Focus, Ken and Catherine will continue in Romans chapter 7, and I hope that you will join us for Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.